Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back once again. Indeed, it is Haunt Weekly, not Haunt Weekly when we feel like it.
Right.
And that is one of the reasons why if we sound a little different. I actually have no idea how this is going to sound. It might sound completely the same.
It might.
But if we do sound a wee bit off, it's because we are not recording in our, as usual, in our spare bedroom. I mean, recording studio.
Yes.
Instead, we are recording in the bedroom of a hotel near St. Louis, Missouri. We're actually on the Illinois side of the river, but yeah, that's not part of the port. We're in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Basically, we're in St. Louis. And yes, so we are doing this live and in charge away from home. So if we make a few more mistakes than usual, if we screw up multiple intros and have to re-record it a bajillion times,
they won't know any of that.
They won't know any of that. Exactly. It's not important. Just play along. But yes, so do want to take a moment though and thank you for listening. And also take a moment, like us on Facebook, like us on follow us on Twitter. We are Haunt Weekly on both. The website is hauntweekly.com. You can subscribe to us there, and that way you can get our awkward banter an hour per week and be alerted when it goes live. Isn't technology great?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Well, on that note, we have conference reminders as usual.
Mm-hmm.
So I kick off this week, I believe.
I believe so.
So on that note, July 29th and 30th, it is Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California at the Long Beach Convention Center. It features presentations from Knott's Scary Farm, Six Flags Fright Fest, and the Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. It also features probably one of the coolest things I have ever heard of. A Hall of Shadows with 16 mini haunted attractions put miniature haunted attractions put on by different attractions in the area. This is bananas, and I would kill to go to this personally.
Yeah.
You can learn more at midsummerscream.org.
Okay, and then we have on August 1st, it's a one-day event, a Haunted Attractions Network Leadership Symposium, Innovation in Interactivity. I almost got through it all.
You almost did it, man. That would have made you the first among us to do it.
I know.
You could have been number one. Oh, well,
yeah.
We'll try again next week.
I guess so. It's going to be in Buena Park, California, and it's going to be put on by Gantam Media, which purchased the Haunted Attractions Network. It's going to be held at Knott's Berry Scary Farm.
You know, depending on which season it is, it's berry or scary.
Yeah. Well, and since it's in berry season, but they're having a haunted thing, so I guess it's scary.
You know, I don't
still.
There's a lot to unpack with this one-day event. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it aims to help attendees create interactivity plan of their own. Speakers include John Cook from Knott's Scary Farm, Brian Llewellyn from the Queen Mary, and Leonard Pickle from Hauntrepreneurs.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of the same people from Midsummer Scream, actually, at this. So, just a thought.
Tickets are $60, and you can find out more at HalloweenAttractionNetwork.com.
Well, following that, August 5th and 6th, it's Scare LA. Where? In LA. I know. It was entirely, you couldn't have predicted it. You could not have seen that one coming.
No, it was in Louisiana.
No, it was in Louisiana. It would be another LA, wouldn't it?
Yes.
At the Los Angeles Convention Center in the West Halls, 200 plus vendors, multiple attractions on the haunted attraction business, multiple panels on the haunted attraction business, I should say. Learn more at scarela.com.
And then August 25th through the 27th, we have Halloween and Haunt Fest show in Dallas-Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center. You can learn more about that at halloweenandhaunt.com.
All right. And then, for our last one right now, you have Sinister Creature Con, October 14th and 15th. I suspect a lot of our audience will be quite busy at that time.
Yes.
But still, it's at the Scottish Rite, R-I-T-E Center in Sacramento, California. A little West Coast stuff. I just realized that.
Yeah.
It includes all things horror, including panels from filmmakers, makeups, haunted attraction engineers, and actors. Sponsored in part by the Crematorium Haunted House and Dire World Scare Park. It'll feature Ted Raimi, Scott McDonald, Marky Ramone, and Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
All right, but you can learn more at... Okay, I'm going to try this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Creature CanSacramento.com.
Yay!
I think I got it.
Yes.
Yes. But yes, as we mentioned, this episode is being brought to you from the road, so any sound differences, we apologize for. It's not because we have a guest, which is the usual reason things sound different. It's because we're basically in a different room than usual. All the same equipment.
Yeah.
All the same equipment. We have a very portable setup, luckily. It's just, the acoustics are terrible here.
Yeah.
You don't want to know how long we spent trying to find this place to put the mic.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad, actually. But yes, we will be back in Louisiana for the next one where we will resume recording. Unfortunately, we put out a call on Haunt Weekly if anyone wanted to meet up. We did it kind of last minute.
Yeah, we did.
No one was able to take us up on it. So it's okay. We understand. Like I said, we didn't really realize we'd have the night available until ultra last minute.
Yeah.
So that's on us. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we did get to check out the Darkness's escape
room. And we're checking out another one tomorrow. So we're checking out some escape games. Not all of them, because there are a whole damn lot of them, it turns out.
Yes, yes there are. Many more than expected.
Yeah, many more than I expected. But yeah, we're checking out a couple of them, and we'll be doing reviews on those in line with the other ones. We've already recorded the ones for Garbage Horror.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the run-up of this trip, I didn't have time to sit down and do the editing for them. So that, once again, that's on me. There's a lot on me this week.
Maybe.
Maybe. Anyways, yes, I'm the eternal screw-up. I get it. It's all right.
Oh.
But yes, anyways, the title of this week's episode is an important one to me. It is called The 6 Questions Your Marketing Must Answer. And that sounds a bit clickbaity and a bit infomercially. It kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's also a very accurate descriptor.
Right.
Because here's the thing. We've spent a lot of time, well, Crystal has, I should say, looking at marketing for haunted attraction conferences and haunted attractions in general.
Right.
Looking at websites, looking at flyers, we've been looking at a little bit of everything.
In fact, we have some to add to our conference list next week.
Yes, we do.
Because completely forgot with this trip to do it.
Yeah, like I said,
sorry.
We're all a little bit off. But anyways, been looking at a lot of stuff, and one thing has come up, and that is a lot of this marketing is woefully incomplete.
Yes. Now, some things that seem that it should be obvious and front page, right, in, you know, when you get to a site, isn't.
Yes. And my degree is actually in advertising.
Right.
That's what my actual degree is in. Journalism and Mass Communications, major in advertising. That is my background. So when I see poor quality or rough around the edges marketing, my heart breaks a little.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this is something I can actually talk about and do good on in this field. And to that end, I just want to say this. Marketing is not a secret art.
No.
The way to think about marketing is this. All marketing is providing a good product and telling people about it, ideally in a way that is engaging to them.
Right.
However, how and what you tell people is very, very crucial.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't answer all the questions people likely have, they can't or won't be customers.
Right.
The worst is when they can't.
Yeah.
Because they literally don't have enough information to be customers. But if they won't be customers, it doesn't really matter. You didn't get the dollar either way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, look, here's the secret. There are 6 questions every piece of marketing you put out. I don't care if it's a TV commercial. I don't care if it's a radio commercial. I don't care if it's a flyer. I don't care if it's your website. I don't care if it's a newsletter. I don't care if it's skywriting.
Yeah.
Actually, you might not want to even attempt skywriting with this.
Possibly not, yeah.
You're going to need like a sky poet.
Fireheart display. Hey, the 4th is coming up. Yeah, it can happen.
You know? But yes, every piece of marketing you put out has to answer these 6 questions. And here's the thing. These questions are the same across all business types. Many haunters have other businesses that they operate. This all works for those businesses as well. Now, we're going to talk about it in the context of the haunted attraction business.
Right.
Because this is a podcast called Haunt Weekly and not Random Industry Weekly.
Right.
And another interesting fact, and this is true, is these are the same questions journalists are told they have to answer whenever they're writing the lead to a story. So if you've spent even 5 minutes conscious in a journalism classroom, you probably already know the questions that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
However, like I said, our focus today is on how to answer these questions for a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
Seems simple, right?
It does.
So, what are the questions? They're who, what, when, where, why, how. You can turn the podcast off now and go.
Yes.
If that's all you're here for, you're done. Go away. All right. Now, those who are still here, there's a lot more to go over than that. But yes, they are who, what, when, where, why, how. The five W's and the H. And I remember as a kid, back when I was in journalism school in like elementary, when I was doing journalism class in elementary school and middle school. And yes, I did, actually. This is true.
Seriously?
I did. No. I wrote for the middle school newspaper, man.
Well, yeah, but that's not elementary.
But I was also taking classes in sixth grade.
Yeah.
It was just the five W's. Who, what, when, where, why.
Mm-hmm.
They added the H sometime later. I don't know if that was like a revelation discovery thing.
Well, that's so that it can keep the time with Chicago, the cell block tank.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Now, we are going to look at these questions one at a time so you understand how they apply to your business and, most importantly, how to appropriately answer them.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's start with who.
Okay.
To quote The Doors, who are you?
Who are you?
Now, here's the thing. Who are you is not your name. Okay, your name is definitely part of it. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But it's way, way more than that.
Yes.
It is based... The way I respond to this question is, you know, who? This is your branding part. This is everything you do to brand your specific haunt. It includes your name, your logo, your color scheme, your font choices, your signage, everything. Mm-hmm. Everything you do to indicate who you are to the public.
Yes.
If you have a title character,
mm-hmm.
like we do.
Right.
That's part of the who.
Yes.
That ugly mug,
yes.
Unfortunately for all of us, yes. is part of the who. And the long and short of it is, you have this brand that you're hopefully building across all of your marketing. Everything you're doing, including the signs out front of your building, every flyer you put out, your logo design, your name, everything hopefully
right.
ties in together. And this is something we actually see a lot of haunts really get squirrely on.
Yeah, and it's not just haunts, because
No, you're right, absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell a quick story that's not haunt-related, but one of the last offices I worked at, I got there, and I looked at their website, and then I looked around the room, because their website was green and yellow.
It was green, like tan. It was like
yeah.
a tan...
Yeah.
It was Simpsons color. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't like Simpsons yellow, but it
yeah.
was like... Yeah, it was bizarre.
Yeah, and
wood grain.
So it looked fine together,
mm-hmm.
and it fit the industry. They were a green industry, you know. It did fit that, but the company colors were gray and marooned.
Yeah,
there's a problem there.
Yes,
because people would go to that and they wouldn't even recognize it as ours. So that's the first thing I changed the first week I was there.
Yeah.
Was the entire site.
And then you changed it. First you changed the colors, then you went back.
Yeah.
And changed the actual site itself, because it needed an overhaul anywho, if
oh,
I recall
yeah.
correctly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, another example is, I have seen haunts that, for example, they did this, like, almost standard heavy metal blood drip letters and
blood
all the...
Blood drips are so cool, though!
Yeah.
You know. I can't, you know, I can't read them, but they're cool!
It looks so awesome. But no, they did like the standard heavy metal band blood drip font thing.
Yeah.
It's super generic. And then you get there and everything's military themed.
Yeah. Completely.
And I was actually unsure I'd arrived at the right place.
Yeah.
Now, for the purpose of an individual ad, like your individual flyer.
Right.
The main thing to do is to make sure you have your name. And you have your logo, and you have the visual markers of you
right.
in that. Or the auditory markers of the radio ad. You indicate who you are. Now, that ad, though, has to fit the larger picture and tie in with everything else you're doing. It is one piece of your branding.
Right.
Think of it as a slice of the branding pizza, if you will.
Yeah.
And so if that slice looks drastically different than all the other slices, it's not really answering the question, who?
Right. I would also say, as far as your logo goes, make sure that you get it on a transparent background.
Yes.
So that way when you do interviews and things, you can just send it directly to the people who interviewed you to use your proper logo.
And a high resolution one, 300px.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever does your logo should definitely give you a print-ready transparency logo. If they don't, dude, I don't know where the hell you even found them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
I know that I've made some banner-style logos for the test site.
Yeah.
Which is coming still.
Yes, yeah,
one of the plugins is just squirrely. Anyway, but
minor tech issues.
Yeah, but it's always frustrating when haunts don't have an official logo.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a clean version of it for the media. And that should be something that you consider putting on your website.
Yeah, it's a press
media
page. Yeah,
press page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something that I don't think I've seen a single haunted attraction actually do. Can you recall one?
No. And, like, that's something that a lot of universities do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I know exactly where, where I work now to go to get all of the specs if I'm doing any kind of advertisement for them.
And this is something a lot of Silicon Valley startups do, too.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends that work for those companies,
right.
I just, whenever I report on them or report on various tech companies, mm-hmm. I just look at the bottom. Usually they have a press page with high-resolution version of the logos.
Yeah.
So that's something else to consider. But, yeah, the main thing is to make sure all of this ties together.
Yes.
And it's super pretty, and that the ad you're putting out ties into it all.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. It's like people, a lot of ads, and a lot of companies in general will do this thing where like, oh, this looks cool for this ad, this looks cool for this ad.
Yeah.
And they end up doing 25,000 different things, and none of it looks like anything else, and they don't have a brand, and every time they try to answer the question who they are, they don't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah. Usually what you get is, oh, well, we're this year's theme.
Yeah. No.
But this year's theme is not the overarching company, and that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, you need to, if you're like us and we do this, change the theme every year. You need to be able to have something overarching that lasts year to year. That way, you can get that repeat business.
Right, because if someone sees our flyer at the local costume shops one year, they see it the next year, they'll go, "Oh, they're still around.
Yeah, exactly.
I enjoyed them last year. I should go again."
Exactly. All right. So yes, who? Who are you? And basically, the big news there is you got to make it tie into your branding.
Right.
The next question is, what? Well, this is where you describe what you are.
Right.
Are you a haunted house? A haunted trail? A haunted theme park? Are you a haunted hayride? What are you? Now look, I'm going to tell you a few things I've learned from my own research, and this may differ slightly in your area, but I know locally, you definitely want to include the word haunted or haunt or some variation thereof in the name.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say a scare house or a spook house or something like that. Say the word haunted.
Yeah.
Just do it. And honestly, another thing I've learned over the years is to never call yourself publicly a haunted attraction. That is a trade term, not a layperson term. They know us as haunted houses.
Yeah.
We know ourselves as haunted attractions. And a good way to think about it is, to McDonald's and Burger King and all that, they're not in the fast food business.
Right.
They're in the quote-unquote quick serve business.
Yeah.
Now, I have never woken up and said, man, I could go for some quick serve breakfast.
No.
I have never said that.
But I'm hungry at 3 a.m. Let's go get some
quick
serve.
Yeah, no one does that.
No.
We are haunted houses. But we're also haunted hayrides, haunted trails, and haunted theme parks, and
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically say what you are, but definitely go out and speak the language that your customers are.
Mm-hmm.
And one good way to do that is to ask them, when you do customer surveys, ask them, how would you describe us, and then mirror the language that they use.
Yeah.
Because if happy customers are describing you as a haunted house, then damn it, you just became a haunted house.
Yeah.
I don't care what you thought you were.
Yeah.
You're a haunted house.
Yeah.
Perception is everything.
This sounds like a Facebook question to put to your visitors and your people who follow you.
Yeah, long story short, ask them how they do describe you to their friends.
Right.
And mirror that language, because it's going to be way, way easier to change what you say versus what they think.
Yeah.
You can change the language like that.
Yeah.
But you're...
Yeah. Well, I mean, even me, whenever I'm trying to bring someone, even someone who works with us in our haunted garage, our home haunt, we say haunted house.
Yeah.
You want to go to the haunted house with us?
Yeah.
We don't say, you want to go to the haunted attraction? It just...
It doesn't sound right.
It doesn't.
But yeah, basically, say what you are. Find a term that is descriptive, is easy to understand, to let people know what you are. Now, here's the thing. People may already know what you are.
Yeah.
I mean, like the House of Shock locally in New Orleans. Well, not locally to where we're sitting at this exact moment.
You said to New Orleans.
But I guess the darkness, being locally to where we're at now, probably doesn't have to tell too many people it's a haunted house.
Right.
But you better believe they still do it.
Yeah.
Because, or I guess in the House of Shock, they call it a haunted, I can't remember what they call it. A Halloween festival.
You know what?
Don't follow the House of Shock's example. No. Their example sucks. Follow the Mortuary's example. They call it a haunted house. It's called the Mortuary Haunted House.
Yes.
Yeah. But, so yes, maybe don't listen to the House of Shock on this one.
Well, they,
Oh, they changed their site.
Let's see. This is horror show.
Oh, horror show.
The little tag at the top says haunted house.
Well, you know, for House of Shock, maybe a horror show isn't that terrible of a descriptor.
No, because it's more than just the house there.
Yeah. So, okay, you know what? I retract that statement. House of Shock people, I apologize. I was wrong about that one.
Every once in a while it happens.
Every once in a while. Hey, I'm not wrong much.
I was talking about the apologizing.
Oh, son of a bitch. Shade is thrown. Oh, man. At the 22-minute mark, shade is thrown. Oh, no.
Yes.
All right, let's move on.
Uh-huh.
Let's move on and talk about the win. Now, this one seems like it's easy.
It does.
And it should actually realistically be easy.
Should be.
It really should. But for some reason, it's just not a lot of times. Basically, when are you open? When can people come and see you?
Yeah.
And, God, how many times have we gone to haunted attraction websites and we've seen dates but not times?
Or
times but not dates? Or
the start time be dusk. That's the most annoying, because that's not consistent.
Yeah, then I'm scrambling to another website to look up when dusk is, and then, you know, sundown and dusk are actually two different things.
Yeah.
Dusk is actually an arbitrary term between when the sun goes down and when it truly gets dark.
Yeah.
So then we've got like a 20-minute window you might open.
Yeah.
Just, when the hell are you open, man?
Yeah. When can I go in?
Yeah, and this is the thing. Try to make this one as easy as possible.
Please?
Because, okay, I understand that haunts open at different times, often open up at different times during the season and on different nights. For example, haunt that opens up on a Sunday may open later or close earlier than when it does on Saturday.
Right.
Fine. Totally cool with it. Be clear about it.
Yes.
You know, don't say, we open at 7, and I've had this happen.
Yes.
Get to the haunt, and then find out, oh, we're opening at 8:30 today, or some crap.
Yeah, because we're waiting for dusk.
Yeah, we're waiting for dusk.
You're inside. Why does it matter?
Yeah, what do you care? I mean, the line has to be dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, so please, get that together to make it simple. When are you open? Dates and times are the crucial information here, and try to make that information succinct. If you can't quickly explain to me when you're open, then your schedule probably needs some work.
Right.
If you say dusk, for example, I mean, like if you have like a haunted hayride or something, I understand the temptation to do
right.
that. But just pick a time, even if it's like a 15-minute time,
right.
that you know is after dusk.
Yes, we open at 8:30 every night.
Yeah, we open at 8:30. We open at 8. We open at 8:45.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 8:15. I don't care.
Yeah.
Pick a time that you know you'll be open at.
Yeah.
And so that way people like me who are punctual and like being there ideally as close as possible to when a haunt opens, so that way I can hit more haunts.
Right.
This is why it's important to us.
Yeah.
So that we know when to be there.
And the definition of open is not open box office.
Oh, yes.
It is, when is the first group going into your doors?
Yeah, how many times have we been at a haunt that opened at 6 to find out, oh, it's the box office that opens at 6. The haunt doesn't open till 7 or 7:30.
Too freaking many.
So we show up, we buy tickets at 6, and then we have an hour to 90 minutes of time to faff about.
Yeah.
And that's not pleasant.
Yeah.
Also, in a similar vein, be sure to try and say when the last group goes in. I recognize, and I have done it. In fact, look, and this is where I'm going to admit, a lot of these marketing things, I've made the mistake too.
Right.
I'm not claiming angelic purity on this one. This is one I've screwed up, and we stopped screwing it up some time ago.
Yeah.
Say when the last group goes in.
Yeah.
Say, when do you close? So that way I know if I show up before 11 or 10:30 or whatever,
right,
that I'm going to go in that door.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And real quick, on conferences, haunt conferences.
Oh, Jesus.
So I just did a whole bunch of research over for Haunter's Toolbox on when these haunts are starting their day. When is registration?
Most
of them didn't have schedules up. And it was so frustrating to try to put it into a calendar that was shareable.
And even if you have just last year's schedule, at least you know the time frame we're talking about.
Exactly. So a lot of them, I just had to guess. And like most conferences don't do registration until 9 a.m. However, HauntCon does it at 8. Because
HauntCon's a bunch of ticks.
Because they want us to get up really early. Yes.
Because I'm already hungover. Let's make it worse.
So that's something that you definitely need to be front and center with this is, you know, in just the overall schedule.
And for the record, Hong Kong is not actually a bunch of dicks. It's just a day getting up at 8 a.m.
Yeah. Well, 7.
Oh, 7. Yes. 7 to be there. Yeah. So, yes, Hong Kong is not really a bunch of dicks.
Yeah.
But that is a dick move.
We're not morning people. We don't know many people in the haunt industry that are.
Yeah, you typically don't get into the haunt industry if you're a morning bird.
If you're in bed by 9, you're not doing a haunt.
So, 10 p.m., that's way too damned early for bed.
Yeah.
If it ain't at least in the single digits, I ain't going.
Yeah, but seriously, if you are running a conference, please, please, please put the times along with the dates.
Yes, absolutely. Great, great point there. Oh, my God. And yes. Oh, and one other thing to mention when you're talking about the time, if you have an ability to predict this, and you may not if you're a fairly new haunt, say when the really long wait times are.
Yeah.
We always warn people, don't come to our haunt on Halloween unless you really like waiting in line.
Yes.
Because even though we have a lot of throughput and crank people out,
right,
there is still sometimes a very significant wait.
Right.
And there's just nothing we can do.
So unless you have kids that you're bringing, because we do trick-or-treating in a separate area of the yard on Halloween night. So unless you really need that experience, come on one of the first 2 nights.
Yeah, please. Come on one of the earlier nights. But long story short, if you have days and times where wait times are really high, warn people.
Yes.
All right, where? Let's move to the next question. Where? Where the hell are you?
I don't know. Where am I?
You're currently in Illinois. I'm sorry. poor choices were made.
Yeah.
But yes, okay. Where are you? How do you describe this in marketing? Well, the easiest is just to give your address.
Yeah.
And in the age of GPS and cell phones and all that crap,
right,
that's actually probably enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your address, I usually don't begrudge you. Now, if you want to take it and do more, do a descriptor of where you are.
Yes.
Say, behind the Denny's on highway, whatever.
Give country directions.
Exactly. That's a little better. But actual directions are better still. And this is really great if you have only like one or two main ways people come to your haunt and you can give directions from that point.
Right.
And on a great tool that we do use, and I encourage you to use, even though I've screwed up how we use it and I'm fixing it this year, I realized this as I was doing these notes that I had screwed something up horribly.
Right.
QR codes for directions are brilliant. QR codes suck for like 95% of the things they're used for.
Yeah, I was surprised to see it on the list.
They suck for like 95%. Here's the thing. A QR code is brilliant for this task. And the reason is this. You have someone with a cell phone in their hand that has a GPS device.
Right.
They are scanning a QR code, which is going to, ideally, if you do this right, put your thing in. So
your
that way,
address.
And then your address in, and then they will have their phone, which has the GPS, and they will get automatic directions from where the hell they're standing.
Yes.
And that is brilliant. Now, the part I screwed up, I got the first part of that right.
Yeah.
The part I screwed up is my QR code leads straight to Google Maps. Don't be an idiot like me. Have the link point to a page on your site. That way you can track it. That way additional information is available to them. And it is another touch point with marketing. Because marketing talk about touch points. Like when you hand someone a flyer, they hear a radio ad, they see a TV ad. Right. Every time...
They see your main characters at a costume shop.
Every time, yeah. every interaction that they have with your marketing is a touch point. You want to increase those touch points, and that's a way to get an extra touch point. I cannot believe I didn't think of that until today. I feel so flipping stupid. Please be smarter than me. Please. and visual maps. Like, we actually print a visual map on our flyers.
Yes.
Those are very, very helpful to people who are in the area.
Yes.
They are completely useless to anyone out of it.
Yes.
And a good example of this is if we were in New Orleans, our haunts in New Orleans, if we did any promotion in Baton Rouge,
right,
I would leave the maps off.
Yeah.
Because they have not the foggiest what those roads in Algiers mean.
Right. Well, and even on the East Bank, they don't.
Yeah, not oftentimes, yeah. So we limit our promotion, because like I said, a home haunt, we limit our promotion within about a 5-mile radius of our haunt. And the streets are pretty big near us, a fairly big name, and they can figure it out.
Right.
So that works out pretty well. But if we did it any further out that circle, that space could be better used for more QR codes.
Yeah.
I'm just all the QR codes. Just use one QR code. Really, that's like the only valid use of a QR code I can think of.
Yeah.
But okay. So yes, that is the where. Now we move on to the why. Now this one is tricky. And this is one I think nearly every haunt screws up when it comes to their marketing.
Yeah.
Why should I go to your haunt?
Yeah.
Specifically, your haunt.
Right.
Why should I care about your haunt? Why should I choose your haunt over the one down the road or across town or anyone else? Why should I care about your haunt? People, and see, the thing about this is whenever we see haunt marketing, it always focuses on we're the scariest, we're super scary, come be afraid, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's good, that's fine, that's great, that's beautiful. But all haunts say some variation of that.
Right.
What makes your haunt unique? Do you have a character that's unique to you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an attraction or something that is special to you?
Zombie paintball!
Yeah, exactly.
Bryce did it right.
Yeah, exactly. No, then that's actually a very good example. That's how Rise first got us out there.
Yeah. It is.
And see, we're in New Orleans. Rise is up in Tickfall, which is up past...
It's over an hour away.
It's about 75 minutes away from us. And we would not go to Rise just for, you know, an everyday rando haunted attraction. Okay,
Yes, we would.
Okay.
Let's
pretend, though, we're not lunatics for a minute. Let's pretend we're normal people here. We would not go 75 miles out of our way.
Yeah.
To go to Rise.
Not past two other attractions in the area.
Exactly. Even though, as we've proven in the past, with lines at the House of Shock, we can actually get there. Yeah, it's a weird story.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so they advertise zombie paintball heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And that is their unique point. Their selling point.
They have something that other attractions in the area do not have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something we were very, very curious about.
Right. And a lot of people are, and a lot of people love it for that.
Yeah.
And that is a great example of value-added selling.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I did the zombie paintball at Rise.
Yes.
It was all right. It didn't blow me away. We didn't even do it again the next year.
Right.
But we loved the haunt.
Yeah.
And so we went back for the haunt.
Yeah.
And now we really love the new haunt they have. So yeah, we're going to keep going back regardless of whether or not we do zombie paintball.
Yeah, if we bring someone new who's never done it,
yeah, we'll
then we definitely do zombie paintball.
Yeah, it's definitely something you got to do once. I mean, yeah. I'm not knocking
it. And we went actually last year to it because we hadn't been in a few years.
Yeah.
And it had gotten more interesting.
Better, yeah.
But they built it up some.
But I think part of it is just that zombie paintball, I think, as a concept...
Yeah.
It's one of those really exciting things in marketing.
Right.
But not quite as awesome when you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
I think there's a disconnect there. I think that's not just a Rise thing. I think it's in general.
Yeah.
But still. But that was a unique thing that got us there. The House of Shock, their unique thing is a stage show. The mortuary, their unique thing is they're in an old freaking mortuary.
Yeah.
You know, what is your unique selling point? The 13th Gate in Baton Rouge, what they harp on constantly, something else you can put down, how many awards they won, how many top lists are you on? And yes, I know those top lists are bullplop.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know that. I know it because the darkness is on so many of them.
That was mean.
Okay. They have other great attractions. The Darkness is probably the weakest attraction in their stable, to be frank. But they are moving it, and they are redoing it. So we will be checking that out.
Yes.
But the point remains is that those lists may not be the most accurate and representative, but they are also useful for marketing.
Yes, they are.
So yes, think about it that way. And so any awards you can seek out, that helps you too. Just remember that. But yeah, the main thing is this. Tell me why I need to visit your haunt. Specifically yours. Don't tell me why I should go to a haunt.
No.
Unless you're the only haunt in the area. And your unique selling point is, we're the only haunted attraction in the area.
Louisiana Nightmares Alexandria before they moved to Baton Rouge and became 13K.
Oh God, or I guess you could say Lafitte Fire Department.
Yeah.
Because they were the only... they were the only haunt for a time. And they're the only haunt in that particular region.
Right.
We have to drive like 2 hours to get to that one, it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really 2 hours. It just feels like 2 hours.
It does.
Because it's not highway driving.
Well, that and we always stop and get yummy, yummy food on the way.
Yes, we do. So it's an excursion for us.
Yes.
But yes, so tell us why I should go to your haunt. And now, after all that, we come to actually the most important question. Even though it was apparently added to the list later on,
it's like,
actually...
Oh, yeah, we should probably include that.
I look at it when marketing as the most important one.
Yeah.
And that is the how.
Yes.
And the how is, how do I go? See, if you do the first 5 questions right...
Right.
People are going to want to go to your haunt.
Yes.
That is a good thing.
Yes.
We want to encourage that behavior. So if they want to go to the haunt... Your next step is to tell them how they can do it. Now, what do they have to do in order to go to your haunt? They have to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
We're not doing this for free. Well, okay, we are. But
you're not doing
it. The royal we is not doing it free. The point of the matter is, the collective we, rather, I should say, not the royal we. But yeah, basically, if this is a business, you're not doing it for free. So how do they buy a ticket? That is a very, very important question. So here's the thing. How much are tickets and where can they get them? Those are the two most important questions you have to answer for the how. What's the cost? Where do they buy them? Can they buy them on your website? If not, they should damn well be able to.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. If you answer those first 5 questions right and you've piqued their interest... And they've got this flyer in their hand, or they're listening to a radio ad, or listening to watching a TV ad, or whatever. You can make a sale right then and right there. And basically, you don't have to make them wait to come to the box office.
Mm-hmm. Could this be another way to use a QR code to take them directly to the buy tickets page?
It could be. I don't know if it would be as common for that.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the reason the QR code is so good for directions
maps.
Is because you've got the GPS thing in your phone.
Right.
And it gives you instant directions from wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Another question is, I really don't know, and I have to check this out. How many people are buying tickets on their cell phone?
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I admit, we're hanging out with a 17-year-old kid. And I say kid, and he's about to become a fully legal adult, and that blows my mind right there.
Uh-huh.
But, where was I going with that? Oh, yes. And we're learning about how he's using technology different from how I'm using it.
Right. Well, that's because we're old.
Yeah, and that's just it. I don't think of myself as that old.
Right.
I'm hip with tech. I'm no square daddy-o. I use square. I'm no square. I mean, I work in the tech industry. I'm comfortably internet. I design and build websites. I design and build storefronts.
Right.
I know my tech, but still, seeing the way young people use it sometimes boggles me.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that we boggled, you know, the generation before us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, what goes around comes around, all that.
I suppose so. But the point of the matter is, I would have to do research and see how much ticket buying and major purchase. Because the thing about this, haunted attraction tickets are expensive.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing a group.
Yeah. Well, I bet it's going to be a lot more common with the younger generation.
Absolutely. So it may be something for translating those physical ads into digital buys on mobile devices.
Yeah.
So that may be something that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
But I'd have to do a little more research whether or not to recommend that. But still, yeah, it's very important that you convey that information right then and right there. And here's the bonus secret. Offer a discount with the advertisement. If you're sending people to the website, offer them a coupon code.
Right.
If you are sending them to the box office, say, turn in this flyer for, or use this code word and get a few dollars off or whatever.
Right.
Look to infomercials. When you are in doubt with advertising and marketing, when you are completely out of ideas, when you are bankrupt and creatively on this, look to infomercials. Infomercials are literally the pinnacle of efficient advertising. And you may think, oh, those are stupid, they're cheesy, they're lame.
Right.
But they sell crazily.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they do it is they answer the first five questions, and then they keep pitching the how, throwing it out. Call this number, visit this website, three easy payments of blah, blah, blah. Call now and you get a discount of whatever.
Yeah. Now, I've got a question. If you are offering a, like a Groupon or a group deal like that, if you know that it's out there, why not put that on your page of discounts and coupons?
Price differentiation would be the reason for me.
Yeah.
Because when you've got a customer you've earned yourself.
Yeah.
You've paid to reach this customer. They may be perfectly willing to pay full price.
Right.
Why direct them to a lower price alternative?
Yeah, and but I just know a lot of people who will search for those.
Yeah. And I am one of them.
and businesses sign up for them to use
they do.
Them.
Yeah, but the idea there is they are taking a sacrifice in the money they're making from those in order to get the promotion from them.
To get a new audience.
Exactly, to reach a new audience, not the audience they're already reaching is the idea.
Fair enough.
So I that's the reason I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to each their own on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, long story short is explain how they buy the ticket, where to go, how much they cost. Try to, once again, the more simple you can make this information, Eastern State Penn does this thing where different days have different prices.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious how that works for them.
Right.
Because in my experience, when you have that much price differentiation over dates, it gets very hard to relay the message effectively as to how much it costs.
Right.
But still, you know, look to infomercials and, like I said, offer all the information on how to buy and then offer a discount just to offer that immediate reward. Because, man, us, our animal brains are flipping triggered by discounts at the right time. Discounts offered at the right time.
Yeah. Now, in the retail world, there's something called a bounce back coupon that we used quite a lot in the couple of stores I worked in over the years. And basically, people would buy something, and we would say, here, come back this day, and you and bring a friend, and you both get a free class or something.
And actually, you know? And this is going to sound so cliche, but remember, we've been hanging out with 17-year-olds. We were at Hot Topic earlier this week. They did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
We made a purchase. I don't remember. I didn't buy anything, but I know the group did.
Yes.
The group made a purchase.
I bought a skeleton dress.
Yes, you did. It was such what a cute. But a purchase was made. And what they did was they handed you like $5 or some crap in Hot Topic bucks.
I think it was closer to 30.
But they handed you Hot Topic bucks.
Right.
But you can only spend the Hot Topic bucks like past like 2 weeks after the purchase.
Exactly. To get you to come back in the store 2 weeks later.
Okay.
So would that be something that you could do when people come up and buy something? Do a bounce back and say, hey, bring some more friends next time. You know?
Yeah, they could do that. Absolutely. But yeah, long story short, for the purpose of marketing, Hal explained how to buy the tickets, where they can get them, how much they cost, and like I said, offer a neat little discount if you can. Offer a discount as you provide that, Hal, because if you've done the first five questions, they're ready to buy.
Right.
They're definitely interested in buying.
Yeah.
Then you give them the information on how to, then you can kick it from an interest to buy into a sale with a discount. That's why discounts are so effective, and that's how to use them correctly. Don't do what, I mean, like Six Flags and all the theme parks do is bring a Coke can in and get $5 off.
Yeah.
All that leads to people scrummaging for Coke cans outside of Six Flags.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't lead to any productive marketing in my book. Anyways, so let's wrap this up. The questions are, once again, who, what, when, where, why, and how. Very simple. Each question is one word long. You have to answer them. If you do not answer them, then the advertisement is a failure. That's just it. It is a complete and abysmal failure. I don't care how creative it is. I don't care how well designed it is. I don't care how catchy it is. I don't care how attention grabbing it is.
Right.
If it doesn't answer those six questions, it has failed. Hmm. It failed as an ad. And the reason is because the customer either can't or won't want to go.
Right.
You have not answered all of the relevant questions. Now, one thing that comes up a great deal in advertising class and something that's relevant here is the call to action.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I view the call to action as the how.
Right.
You've answered the five questions. The how is your call to action. In our industry, the call to action should be buy your damn tickets.
Yes.
That's the call to action. It should not be visit our website.
No.
Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to visit your website and then they're going to forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
The call to action is buy tickets.
Yeah. Buy your tickets today.
Yeah, exactly. Buy your tickets today, and then you give the website, and then you give the hotline number.
Yeah.
Then you give that information. Once again, when in doubt, look at infomercials. I'm not kidding. Watch a few infomercials, see how they operate, see how they explain and go through the motions, everything about the product. Yes, they're stupid, but you know what? Some asshole sold millions of dollars worth of $40 pasta strainers.
Yeah. Normally, this podcast would be $49.99, but you're getting it for free!
They're stupid, they're kitschy, they're annoying, but they sell. Never forget that. And you know how they sell? The reason they sell is because they get real-time feedback on how they work.
Right.
They know the exact moment their infomercial's triggering a sale. They know the split second it happens, because that's when the phone rings, that's when the click hits the website.
Yeah.
They get real-time feedback, and they use that to iterate them. You watch an infomercial multiple times, unless you're watching on the same night and it's like on the loop.
Right.
It will probably iterate the next time you see it. They'll cut out scenes, they'll add scenes.
You know, one of the things that some of those commercials have done is they use special, they use code words to get your discount.
Yeah.
That's probably for targeting times that their commercials are more effective.
Yes.
So if you do radio ads, you could put, hey, call in with this promo code, put in this promo code, and then you'll see which times are most effective for your radio ads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can definitely do that. And you can do it with a website as well. Your coupon codes can be different.
Right.
Based upon the, not only the type of media, but when the media was shown.
Yeah.
And one thing you'll see in a lot of the, like, this isn't so much with the infomercials, but those 30 or 60 second spots that are infomercial likes. They'll do go to blah 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 50 and all that. That is often sometimes it's affiliate marketing. But like I said, it's often a way of tracking specifically which ads it was that got results.
Right. So
when
use,
they aired. Yeah.
So use a different code on your different types of media ads.
Exactly. It can help a lot. But yeah, basically, if you don't have this information, the ad fails.
Yes.
Outright fails. I've seen brilliant ads, and this has happened to me all the time watching TV.
Yeah.
I'll see a brilliant ad, and then 2 seconds later, I can't remember who the hell it was for.
Yep.
That ad has failed. It may be the most brilliant, beautiful storytelling. Well, it could have been done by Steven Spielberg himself. It's still flipping failed because it's never going to get me to buy the product to support the company.
Right.
So, yes. How you do it? Up to you. Be creative. Please be creative. Definitely use your imagination. But consider these your marketing commandments. Every piece you put out has to answer these 6 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the reasons why I hate billboard advertising, too, because there's no way in hell you can answer all these questions on a billboard.
Nope. Don't put phone numbers on a billboard.
Oh, Jesus, no. You know, if you're going to use a billboard, it's not an advertisement. It's purely a branding and exposure thing.
Yep.
And I don't know. That's a mixed feeling right there. But yes, answer these questions. You have to. If you don't, your marketing will fail. So here's the challenge for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at your marketing. Look at the flyers you produced. Look at the lenses for last year.
Yeah.
Look at the radio ads you did. Look at the TV buys. And check and make sure every single one answers all 6 questions.
Yes.
If they don't, guess what? We're in between seasons, homeboys and girls.
Yeah.
You can change them.
Feel free to post a picture of your flyer from last season in the comments.
Yes. Here at Hot Weekly on Facebook.
Yes.
Definitely would love to see some of that. And also, you know, if you want us to tear it apart.
Yes, let us judge you.
We will judge you mightily. Boom. Boom. Yeah, we're not at Jonas Swindell calls clipping.
Yeah.
In this room, everything calls is clipping.
Yeah.
I'm even scared to, like, fart and they'll call flipping in this room. The acoustics are that bad. But yes, if you want to, definitely feel free to post and reply on Twitter, Haunt Weekly, Facebook, Haunt Weekly. Let us see your ads. If you've got YouTube videos of them,
yeah.
Got flyers, you can share the images. Love to see them. Love to see what you guys are doing in this area. Like I said, haunt marketing is probably the area of this industry dearest. Well, one of the areas dearest to my heart.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more of it.
Yeah, and you can also just send it to us in a private message.
Yes.
If you don't want us to tear you apart in public.
Yes, indeed. It can be boring about it, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, that's literally all the time we have in a little bit, because this has been so much fun to talk about some marketing stuff. But any final thoughts before we cash out?
Nope, I think I did that.
Well, on a note, as we've said now multiple times, follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Like us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. The new website is coming, we promise. It's hauntweekly.com. We have a site up. It just sucks.
The current one, yes.
The current one sucks.
Yes.
The new one is much
hard on that.
The new one is much better, but we're having a tech issue with the podcasting plugin.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it hasn't been put up, honestly.
Yep.
We're literally at that stage. So, yes, we will make a big old flipping announcement when that actually does happen.
Yep.
But until next time, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 82, talking about the 6 questions your marketing has to answer. It's a commandment. We will see you guys next time.